Heavenly Father, we thank you for gathering us together again tonight in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your great faithfulness, Lord. And thank you for your unfailing word that we are two or three are gathered together in your name. There you are in the midst of them. So we have not allowed that. You are right in this place, Lord. And the Lord our God in the midst of us, you are mighty. You are the Almighty God. Lord, thank you, Father. Blessed be the glory of the Lord. Father, as we go ahead and read your word tonight, Lord, bless the reading of your word, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, our Lord, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So, by God's grace tonight, just something from the book of Genesis, you know, the deluge. The deluge, meaning the severe flood that destroyed the Adamic world. So, and we can always learn new things from the Bible, you know, from the Word of God. So, from looking into the scripture, there were two chief causes that produced the flood. Number one, there was the rain. Bible says the clouds poured down torrents of water for 40 days and nights. That's in Genesis chapter 7 verse 4. For yet 7 days, and we cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from all the face of the earth. Now, but we see even more. It is more than the rain, from what you can see from the Bible, that produced the flood, really. If we look closely and so on, and the revelation of the Holy Spirit, and there is more than the rain that produced the flood, because, even today, the modern science, they estimate that the clouds drop down as much as, if the clouds drop down as much as a foot of rain, for example, and an hour, which is more than ever. Let's say today when they measure rain, they will tell you, half an inch. You see in the news, maybe 1 inch, maybe half an inch, and so on. Now think that even if the rain begins to fall for a foot, of rain in 1 hour and so on, of course, which is far more than we can ever have seen in the history of the world, that rain is falling to one foot and so on per hour and so on. That see, only even that rate of 1 foot an hour and so on, see, only a small amount of the water will be accounted for, science say at least, maybe mostly 1,000 feet, of rain shall we get and so on, You have mountains that are thousands of feet long, right? We talk of one of them shortly, Mount Everest is 29,000 feet, right? So the science is saying that even at 1 foot per hour or whatever, that only about 1,000 foot of rain could have, done that and so on. So anyway, so of course, God could have miraculously created enough water in the clouds, just as he said, to effect the flood. Even science said that even for those 40 days, that 1 foot of rain an hour could not have done that. Well, God could have miraculously created more rain in the clouds to do that anyway. So, usually, God always chooses the simplest ways of doing things to accomplish his purpose. God, in simplicity, he had himself in simplicity, right? And he repeats himself in the same. God always had himself in simplicity, and always repeats himself in simplicity. Everything about him is just so simple, right? So, for example, that was the case when he decreed for the water to recede. He made a wind. See how simple he made it? He made a wind to pass over the earth and the waters assuaged in Genesis 8:1. So that extra water that might not have come from the rain, supposedly, so he could have done it anyway, that he says. Maybe the clouds, they don't need it. So, but let's look at the Bible. So the second cause of the flood could have been what the Bible says here, and he said it himself, of the flood, was that all the fountains of the great deep broken up. So that could be another reason that added to the rain or the water and stone. That's 7:11 of Genesis, and I read. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. See that? So yeah, thank God for the rain, but look at that event. That's another effect too, you know, at that time. I will jump to the 19th verse. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits, in verse 20. Upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. Bible says so. So there was the rain, there were the windows of heaven that were all open and turned, as you know, to cause the flood, you know. So today, Bible says the windows of heaven, right? From what astronomy has shown us, this could have been what he meant by the windows of heaven being broken up. And so today, science, you know, help us understand certain things about the heavens and so on, as you know. They know about the gravitational forces, right? You know, that holds even the heart in its place, and all the heavenly bodies and so on, that hold them in their place. You know, so, and, you know, so they are thinking that these gravitational forces could have caused a great tide to rise until the mountains were covered. For example, our moon, our nearest neighbor here, that orbits our heart, for example, when at the end of the month, at the full moon, the tides rise up. If you notice right there, they rise up every month end, the tides around the ocean, because of the gravitational pull of the moon upon the earth, the tides of the ocean, they rise up, you know. So because it's close to the earth, near full moon, right? That is known to everybody. So, and, you know, projecting that. So, you know, we are, you know, maybe, there are other heavenly bodies, you know, that could have moved, you know. So, a body in space, let's say what science says, a body in space, like the moon and other things that we're going to talk about shortly, you know, a large asteroid, for example, there are asteroids in the heavens and so on. So, a large asteroid, for example, if it passes in the vicinity of the Earth, will have this effect, you know. And we know today, between Mars and Jupiter, that the belt of asteroids. Asteroids are just rock-like substances, like mountains and rock of stone, you know. And there is a belt of them between the planets Jupiter and Mars. How, you know, some think that it's a broken up planet that used to orbit the Earth. And it's not impossible really, because even that time of the judgment of the flood, who knew part of the judgment could have been a broken planet? Look at the moon. There are all kinds of craters on it. What made those craters, you know? That's something to think about, right? Could the asteroids could have hit the moon? There are so many craters on the moon. Possible, you know. So anyway, they are all there. So anyway, so we know there's an asteroid, you know, bed, you know, between Mars and Jupiter. And it is no secret also that these asteroids, these such bodies, occasionally pass the Earth. See, normally they also orbit the Sun, just as the Earth is orbiting the Sun. But occasionally, you see, their orbits, they cross the orbit of the Earth, they come so close to us, you know, to the Earth and so on, you know. So, as the following science report says, and they can cause devastation upon the Earth. When they come close, they are gravitational pull. Just so you need to see what could have happened when the windows of heaven were broken up. It could be one of these earth that God just let come down and cause us a great pull of the ocean and a pour upon the mountains and so on. It could have just ordinary rain also. But let's see what science is saying here and see maybe that is the case, whatever God used, you know, but we know. But what we know today in science could have been what really also happened there when the windows of heaven were broken up and so on. Here's a science report. Numerous asteroids and, of course, comets orbit through the solar system, with some even approaching the Earth. See, they come close to the Earth, you know. So you know the effect, they come too close, they can effect a gravitational force that can pull the oceans up and so on, that you know, even today and so on. So thousands of asteroids are discovered yearly, and scientists make an effort to track their orbit to see if any of them approaches the Earth at all. Asteroids that are at least 460 feet in size and which will pass within a minimum of 5 million miles from the Earth's orbital path are deemed potentially hazardous because of the great probability that they might hit the Earth. This scientific report now. And we can give example in history. We just explain, you can explain all of God's word, you know, but just we want to know today, and God always uses natural things to, you know, to do what he wants to do, you know. Not just supernatural things. So, for example, you know, as of November 2021, this year, some 2,000 of the over 1 million, today NASA has identified over 1 million asteroids, you know, as of today. 1 million of them. Of this 1 million, or over 1 million rather, 2,000 of them, in our solar system, have been identified as potentially hazardous. What does that mean? It means there is a possibility or probability that they might go into our atmosphere and hit the Earth. So, even as I'm talking right now, I think it was in November, this week or last week, they are so concerned that one of these asteroids might probably hit the Earth. And so today, NASA has released a website where they monitor all the near Earth objects. They call it NEO, near Earth objects. So they monitor them to see, and everybody can go and look at it if you want. You see the asteroids in their orbits graphically, which of them are very near the Earth, because they are so scared that one of these days, one of them will hit the Earth. So they are so concerned that they have this website where they monitor all the asteroids, 2,000 of them they have known, out of over a million that are identified. Somebody can go and see it in their website, in that website. So anyway, so they are so concerned about this thing hitting the Earth and so on. That was this November that they saw that and so that they put that website in there. I went to there myself to look at it and things like that, you know. And that's how concerned the people of the world are and so on. Some of these asteroids are absolutely gigantic. They can be so huge. One of them, they call it Vesta. One of these, they call it Vesta. It's around 330 miles in size. Can you imagine? No, rock-like sort of, 330 miles wide. To put that in perspective, compared to that is look at the Grand Canyon. It should be 5 times the width of the Grand Canyon. That 330 miles, this Vesta asteroid, 330 miles in size. That is about 5 times the size of our Grand Canyon. See, to see how huge they are, or take the length of the English Channel. The English Channel is the stream of water that connects France and England, right? So this asteroid is about so many times longer than the English Channel, that they say. So there are others, which are far smaller asteroids. We know that, ranging just a few feet in size. And this range around the size maybe of a car or a bus, and this asteroid and so on. Don't forget that it's an asteroid belt, right? Between Mars and Jupiter. So they are monitoring this asteroid over 1 million of them, 2,000 are near NEOs, near Earth objects, which they think they hit the Earth any time. We are still talking about the windows of heaven was broken up, right? So just look at science today, what they have found out, and it could be one of those things. When solar asteroids, less than 3 feet in size, are simply known as meteoroids. If they are very, very small enough, maybe 3 feet or thereabouts, they are called meteoroids in astronomy, you know. These meteoroids, or even asteroids themselves, just a few feet in size, impact the Earth's atmosphere. The Earth's atmosphere is in our heart, and all the atmosphere around it, all the gaseous things around the Earth and so on, you know, they all have atmospheres, right? So when they hit our atmosphere, you know, what happened? They become visible, but largely they disintegrate, and sometimes forming into bright fireballs in the process. Then you see the shooting stars, right? That what happened, you know, when they cut our atmosphere, the point of fireballs, you know, like that, these asteroids and so on, that, you know. If they penetrate the atmosphere, they cause to impact the Earth, then they are called meteorites, you know, called meteorites. First of all, they are asteroids, right? And they enter our Earth atmosphere. They can become some of them, we call that shooting stars and so on. If they are powerful enough and huge enough, and some of them hit the Earth, then they become meteorites. We have here one in Arizona, the meteorites. Start in Winslow, we have it up there, you know, 3 miles across, you know, and things like that, you know. Anyway, so the last known significant asteroid impact was on February 15 on 2013, when an asteroid explodes in here above what they call Chelyabinsk in Russia. Maybe you didn't hear about it, but it happened in February 15 or 2013. What was the effect on the Earth? This asteroid was 56 feet wide, you know, and while it didn't result in any casualties, the shock, according to the scientific report of that thing, the shock wave from the explosion shattered windows in 6 different Russian cities and caused 1,500 people to require medical attention. Just the explosion, only 56 feet wide, took out the cause and so on, you know, just, I mean, a few years ago. However, even larger and far more destructive ones have happened in the past history. We can name one or two of them. The most conspicuous was, or the most notable, and, you know, and recent of this was on the morning of June 30, 1908. Over Eastern Siberia in Russia. That's a notable one. The asteroid was estimated to be about 650 feet in diameter. And when it exploded over Siberia in the air, several kilometers above the area, it produced a massive 12 megaton explosion, causing widespread destruction for thousands of miles. To put it in perspective, that 10 megaton, let's see what atomic bomb did in Hiroshima, that will make it about 800 times more powerful than the little boy. The little boy is the name they give to the 15 kiloton atomic bomb that was detonated over Hiroshima in World War II. So, but this one is this explosion of this asteroid was 800 times more powerful than that little boy, they call it, you know, that was detonated over Hiroshima in World War II. And of course, it was 600 times more powerful than the first man. The first man is the name of the atomic bomb that was detonated over Nagasaki 3 days after Hiroshima, you know, and all that, you know. Can you see how powerful it is now? You know, so we are seeing the windows of heaven were broken up, right? Could be one of these that God used at that time, we don't know, you know. Anyway, but the damage of this thing over Siberia was still, you know, evident, you know, was evident and so on that, you know. So, incidentally, the cause of the sparsely populated that region in Siberia was very, very remote, number one, and it was sparsely populated, So luckily, I think only 3 people were reported killed, you know. So, but that's not the only effect, you know. It destroyed but the forests were leveled, you know. So many trees were destroyed, and tremors and air waves were felt as far, even as Washington here, you know, when it happened. And even Indonesia, that's how powerful it was. The few eyewitnesses accounts, to this effect, recounted the terrifying explosion, strong winds, tremors, and the incredibly loud noises. And so I think 80 million trees were leveled when it happened over in Siberia. 80 million trees were leveled, and over the area, about 830 square miles. 850 million trees were leveled, and so on. But thank God, only 3 people died because of the sparsely populated and the remoteness of that thing. Even now, something even larger is coming, and over. And the measure is around 90 feet wide, and like the asteroid, they call it, the half name for them now, because they're mentioning them, right? This one is called, like you have a comet, where you find a comet, it's named after you. Well, things like that, you know.
It's like this comet,
yeah, that's right. Or Kohutek, or whatever you want to call it. So they are named after those people who find them, right? So this one is called Apophis. And it's about 990 feet wide, and it's set for a very close but not dangerously flying by our heart in the future. They don't know when, and if it happened, they could destroy a whole continent. That's what they said. You know, the way if it really hits the earth can destroy a whole continent, like all of Africa, you know, if it happens, and so on. So it is for that reason, like I said before, that the scientists have invented a way of tracking these asteroids. On November 10, I repeat this one, 2022, NASA launched the Eye on Asteroids. They call it Eye on Asteroids. Eye on, they are watching the asteroids, Eyes on Asteroids web app, which anybody can download or watch over your, whatever, on the internet and so on. Which I already said before, and anybody can go and watch it. Nevertheless, the law could have used any other means to accomplish that flood that covered the old mountains and things like that, you know. But knowing what you know in science today, and knowing that asteroid bed between Mars and Jupiter, and see how huge these things are, you know, like I said, the one I showed to you the other time is about, many 30 miles wide. Can you imagine, times? Further, the size of the Grand Canyon, can see what it can do and some of that, you know. Even science thought that those broken asteroids could be a planet that was broken up in the deposition that happened at that time, you know, during the flood and so on. Let's move on now. So again, the windows of heaven broken up could be one of these things. Could have used something else, we don't know. Well, the scripture stated that the effect of the great deluge was to destroy life off the face of the earth. That's the reason God called the flood, right? Genesis 7:23. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. So the antediluvians, you know, see how foolish they were. You know, the Bible says, God's wisdom and so on to man is foolishness, right? So the antediluvians, they thought that they were all safe, right? But they perished, because their security was rested in something other than the ark. You see? You know, only in Christ we have security, don't we? So Noah was safe anyway because he went where safety was. The believers is secure today because you and I have chosen to rest in the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the ark is a type today. Today, the Lord Jesus is our ark of safety. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. And we are talking about this because the Lord himself said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Today is that ark of safety. Now, those who put their trust in some convenient dogma instead of the Lord Jesus Christ, and who live as they please, they just want to do what they want to do. You know, it's my life, just live as I like, you know. They fool one another, and they are fooling nobody but themselves. We will learn from the flood, right? Now the Lord says it's an example of what will happen at the end of time. The only thing is that it will be by water this time. So we know to accept Christ means to renounce sin and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord said in John 8:31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believe on him, if he continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. So now, there are skeptics today, and they are infidels, and they have questioned the right of God to have destroyed the anti-diluvian world. See? Human beings querying God, why God did what he did. Can you imagine such a thing, you know? When we went to Malta, so we took a ship to go to a nearby island called Gozo. So as we were there in that boat, there was one man sitting here, and I began to witness to him and things like that, you know. Oh, you know, God is too good to destroy anything. I thought that to destroy man. Then I point to him the time of the flood. If you're just arguing and so on, I had a few questions, you couldn't just continue, you know. I said, yeah, God is a merciful God. I said, God of judgment too, you know. So anyway, so there are sketches today. Why God destroyed them like that and so on, you know. And liberal theologians too have denied the authenticity of the book of Genesis, declaring the account of the flood as a myth. They are all over the world today. They are ethics, yeah? they are atheists, right? You know. Nevertheless, even there are today. Nevertheless, the fact is that ancient secular history is replete, nearly complete, with records of such a catastrophe. Ah, yeah, yes, there are many of them today. You know. So even the late 2000 ago, on Mount Ararat, they see the remains of the ark. You know. So we know that it was in the news. Part of the evidence to us, we don't even need anything. God says it is so to us, amen. Praise the Lord. But to the ages and so on. Even today, geologic evidence shows that the seas at one time reached high elevations, leaving behind a marine residue. How do we see fish on the mountain or crab or the mountain? Because of the flood. So we know that, you know. So and to the deceptive arguments of the skeptics, may we say this, I put it on here, that it is self-evident that if God has the power to create life, then he has the right to lay down the rules by which the creature must live. Because he created it, and he laid down the rules by which everybody should live. And if the creature deliberately disobeys his creator, refuses to fulfill the purpose for which he was created, and even attempts to frustrate the divine plan, then God has a right to remove him from the earth, from the sin. Absolutely. Even the Bible says, who are you, the clay, to say to the potter, how do you make me dust, you know? Who in the Bible? So when the Bible was talking to us and say, he said, before the twins, Esau and Jacob, before they were even born at all, God has said, before they even do any kind of good work, Esau have hated and Jacob have I loved. People are saying, they haven't done anything and so on, that, you know. Want to even pass and so on. Where are you to answer God? Praise God. Anyway, so it's always like that. Who are you to answer God? Or even question anything, you know? Anyway, so we see that. So nevertheless, God being infinitely more kind and patient than man, shows great forbearance. That was people don't know. I always think about God's forbearance, you know. He has endured humanity for 6,000 years as he put us upon the earth here, you know. No matter what prophecy came, no matter what prophets came, no matter what the church has done and so on, you know, they still don't want to believe him. And they think, you know, it's God's forbearance. His spirit moved upon the people, even in Noah's day, allowing their evil and rebellion, year after year. The Lord already said it. Noah preached for 120 years. They attempted to quote science. Ah, what kind of rain is that? That's come and destroy the whole world. And they were mocking and giggling and laughing and so on. Things like that, you know. So anyway, they didn't know that God forbear us. Anyway, year after year, in the hope that they will repent. God doesn't repent. He knew they won't repent. But you see, because the God of judgment doesn't destroy anybody until he has warned them, right? You know. So, however, when finally, all this to answer the critics of God's wisdom in destroying the antediluvian. Here is the answer, some of the answer. However, when finally the whole human race had drifted into apostasy, and only one family was left to bear testimony to the faith of Jehovah, God was not only justified, but compelled at last to bring the evil to a halt. Imagine, see, a deprived and corrupted race must be destroyed and a fresh state made. That, and it's here on God's side. The warnings of God to the Israelites bear that out. What I said was that a deprived and corrupt race needs to be destroyed, a new one restated. And this is the thing that he told the Israelites. In Leviticus 18:24, this same truth. Even his own people, hear what he's saying, Leviticus 18:24. Defy not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defied, which I cast out before you, Israelites. Don't go and do the same thing now. I'll do the same thing to you if you don't follow my rule. And the land is defied, the Bible says. Therefore, I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it. And the land itself, vomited out our inhabitants. So that's God's way of doing things. He warned them, and so on. They don't repent. Has no more option, you know. So it was an act of mercy, really, that God sent the flood. Talking about the deluge today. The severe flood that destroyed the world, and you know, so anyway, it's an act of mercy that God really sent the flood. Why do I say that? Had he not done so, what would have happened? The whole human race would have been corrupted itself, and there would have been none left to carry on the witness of Jehovah. See, I mean, if he didn't do it, he would have destroyed himself anyway. And the children of the wicked will grow up to partake of the wickedness of their elders and share their doom. That could have happened. I cannot destroy them by the flood. More also, God vindicated both his mercy and his justice in the sending of the flood. Had God allowed the antediluvian world to continue, one more generation would have happened, there might have been twice as many of that race in shell today, ready for hell. You guys not even stop it, you know. So God is all wise in all of his doing. Now let's move on by this flood and so on. Now, other people have questioned the Lord this way. They are saying that, oh, you know what? Did the flood, did it cover the entire geographical earth? They are querying that, you know. What's our answer to that? So we are informed in 28th verse of Genesis 7, and I read. So to the people who are questioning, did the water really cover the whole earth? To me, God says to me, that is enough for me. But here, what the Bible says, Genesis 7:15, 10:20, 15 cubits upward did the water prevail, and the mountains were covered. Like I said, some have expressed doubt if this meant that the water, which is 15 cubits above, so this was it, did it cover Mount Everest? Now they were asking. We were having doubt. Mount Everest is the tallest mountain in the whole world, 29,000 feet. Now they were saying, so they were questioning that, you know. Well, you know, so, and, you know, so to me, Bible answered that it covered everything is enough for me, but I will tell you something. Even if it didn't cover Mount Everest, it still meets God's criteria. What is the criteria? God's purpose, right, in setting the floor is to destroy all living things, right, according to the scriptures, right? All living things. On Mount Everest, there's no living thing in India. The atmosphere is so thin. There's no oxygen in India. Many people perish every year. Who wants to go to Mount Everest? You have to carry oxygen with you, right? You know? So there is no, the atmosphere is what science calls very thin atmosphere. Very, very little or no oxygen. You know? So there's no life on Mount Everest, and there's no life there. So even if the water didn't reach Mount Everest, so there's no life there to destroy, right? The purpose of the flood was to destroy all living things, right? So there's no living thing on Mount Everest. At the peak of it, there's no living thing there. So it didn't meet God's criteria. But I still believe that God, well, what he said he will do, he did. And so, or either way. So, you know, so God is right. God is true. So, and his word is true. Now, let's see some of the effects of the flood before we just, it's not a too long a message tonight, but sometimes we just pick in the Bible certain things that happen, you know, for education, and that's something for us to learn and everything. So now, the flood caused a year change, you know, that's a year change due to the flood, right? A remarkable event took place during the flood, which apparently affected the length of the year that we know today. And the Genesis account shows that the antediluvian years were reckoned in 12 months of 30 days each, or a total of 360 days to the year. And looking at the Bible, I don't have all the descriptions here, but the first 5 months of the flood equaled exactly 150 days. That means 30 days per month, right? And each additional period as mentioned in the flood time of, you know, of days fit only a calendar that uses 30 days per month exclusively. These are all in the book of Genesis and so on. I can't think of the scripture right there, you know. Now, since God created everything good, why would we say everything he made, he said was good, right? You know, so we know that it is not surprising that the original year should be 360 days long. Even for whom are they speaking? You know, it should be 360 days long. Perfect number and so on. Because of the flood, the calendar has been changed time after time, and the allowances made to accommodate the uneven number of days we have today. So that's why did that? So that the year will not go ahead of the season. That's why they change the calendar all the time to what we have today, you know. So that's why the year is, you know, that's what the season is about, you know. Anyway, sin and apostasy, you know, and the resultant judgment of the flood threw the earth out of balance. Now what happened? Threw the earth of balance, you know. This is indicated by the scripture in Psalm 82 verse 5. I will read that. All the foundation of the earth are out of court. The Bible said, David prophesying in the Holy Ghost, or telling us what happened in the past and so, by the Spirit of God. Very clearly, the antediluvian year was the perfect year of 360 days. We know that. Yet, the present year is 365 and a quarter days, you know, long. Something has happened. What was it? According to the, you know, we pick up science here again. True science always agree with the Bible. And God allows them to do certain things. Because to even still convince those who are still honestly believing the scriptures, you know. Anyway, so now what has happened? According to the laws first announced by Kepler, a scientist, we know that, you know, in those days and so on, it's called Kepler. If you have done elementary physics, you would have known about him. It says this, when there is a change in the length of time of the revolution of a planet about the sun. So we take our planet for example. It has a change in the time that it takes that planet to orbit around the sun, there must have been a change in the length of the orbit of that planet. See? That makes sense right now, you know. So what happened was that, so our Earth used to be revolved around the sun 360 days during the Antediluvian age, right? How does it become 365 and a quarter day? Because that a change during the flood. The Bible says the foundation of the Earth were out of course. So it means that the orbit of the Earth was shifted. So calculating those extra 5 1/4 days, scientists think that the Earth has receded from the sun about 1,000,000 miles. That's what it comes to, you know. So that's what happened, as well, you know. So all this happened during the flood, right? That's why we now have, because we have now a longer orbit of the Earth around the sun. So that's why it takes him longer time, you see, to orbit the sun. So so we see that right there, you know. So anyway, now that's the question. Should the Earth be one day restored to its original orbit? Today our sun is 93 million miles away from here, right? So that means that maybe in the time of the flood it was just only 92 miles away. That's what it means, you know. Anyway, should the Earth be restored to its original orbit, which will be 1,000,000 miles closer to the sun, you know, I mean closer to the sun, one of the effects will be this. But, I mean, which means the Earth is now nearer to the sun, right? First of all, the sun will look brighter, right? The sun will look brighter because it's now nearer to the sun by 1,000,000 miles, right? If it will look brighter, and there'll be more sunshine coming to us. And even the moon itself will be more brighter. Why? Because the light of the moon is a reflection of the sun, right? So if the Earth now moves closer 1,000,000 miles to the sun, there will be more intense sunshine, right? And also, the moon will shine brighter too because the moon's light is a reflection of the sun. Is there anything in the Bible to tell us that? Exactly the Bible said that will happen in the millennium. Let me go to the Bible right here. This is exactly one of the prophecies given in the Bible. Isaiah 30 verse 26 says this. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun. And the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days. Bible says. So what is going to happen? So, because in the millennium, because this thing will be corrected, the correction will involve the Earth being restored to its original orbit, meaning at least, according to science, 1,000,000 miles nearer the sun. So, that's what the Bible is saying here. That is, you know, so we can see the more intensive sunlight, because the moon, the reflection of the light of the sun, the shine brighter too and so on, you know. How do we know to happen in the millennium? Because the Bible says that when it happens in the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. What that means to us? That means that during the millennium, when Israel is fully restored to the Lord Jesus Christ, their Messiah fully rejected. So all these things, you know, that in the Bible and so on. Anyway, so that will close here. The significance of the number 365 days. So yeah, God allowed it to happen 365 and 100 days. What is the significance of that? You know, as we have shown, it was after the flood judgment that the number 365, a number of days in the solar year, came into existence, right? To be 360 days, right? Now, the number is significant in that Enoch was translated at the age of 365 years. We know that Genesis 3:23 says so. It says in there, and all the days of Enoch were 365 days. Bible says so, right? So God knows what he was doing. Why we are now the earth to now orbit the sun, more than it used to be, to 365 days, you know. 24th verse says, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So the fact that the number 365 is linked with Enoch's life foreshadows the fact that the judgment was in store for the world after he had given his testimony and the world rejected it. That is really something that I believe God did and so on, you know. So that is right. So what's the point for us here tonight and this generation? Similar scenario will happen or accompany the rapture of the church. Similar effects, of which the translation of Enoch is a type. What's that? The rapture will be followed by judgment. You know, that is the thing. Now, first of all, the rapture will occur like Enoch went up. 1 Corinthians 15. I've never thought of reading this scripture. I gave two of them. The rapture will occur. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Another scripture, 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So like I said, I'm likening to the time of Enoch, right? When it was translated, what happened? Judgment followed, right? The same thing will happen. After the rapture, judgment begins. First, the Antichrist exalts himself above all that is called God, all that is worshipped, so that he as God, seated in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. 2 Thessalonians 2:4. Now, following that, then shall the great tribulation, see, Antichrist issued the mark and so on. Following that, there shall be great tribulation, judgment, right? Like Enoch when he went, right? Then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. Ever shall be. Matthew 24:21. Following that, immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give a light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the path of the heaven shall be shaken. Matthew 24:29. See, the judgment, upon judgment after the rapture, even more. Then we call the great day of the Lord. Zephaniah 1:14. I don't have time to read that one now. Zephaniah 1:14, the great and terrible day of the Lord. Following that, there will be the seven trumpet judgments of Revelation 8:7-15. Don't have time to go read them. Not finished. Then will come the seven vial judgments of Revelation 16:1-17. Then Armageddon will follow. Revelation 19:17-18. See? But praise God tonight, The Lord has promised the rapture as the way of escape from all this. No wonder, and he has told us what to do. As a way of escape, the Lord promised us. Luke 21:36. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that have been, all these judgments that must come to follow. Didn't say we should pray that they shouldn't come. They have to come, right? That shall come to pass
and to stand before the Son of Man. Then in Mark 13:37, he said, the last scripture here, I close from here. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch, praise the Lord. Blessing of the deluge. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, Lord. Worship you for giving us understanding this end of time, this end of the age, that we not fall into the foolishness of the antediluvians who mock God and think their silence was super perfect than the word of God. You know, the Bible say, the foolishness of God is wiser than man. In the name of Jesus, Lord, help us to keep the word of the Lord. You have shown us what to do. Worship therefore and pray always. That can't say the word to escape all these things which must come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man blameless. Lord, we are convinced as we serve the Lord that you are the one who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of your glory with exceeding joy. To you be majesty, glory, honor and dominion and power throughout all eternity. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brothers.